As a self-described iceaholic, Robert McFarlane loves what glaciers can reveal to us over time, as well as the surprises the Earth hides beneath our feet. He explains how a deep time journey can help us better appreciate the here and now a little later in the hour. And tour guides from Spain, including an American expat, tell us why they love living in Madrid. Let's start today's Travel with Rick Steves with author Richard Grant. He's lived in Manhattan, the Mississippi Delta, and the Sonoran Desert of Tucson to immerse himself in different aspects of the USA. In contrast to the English modesty Richard was brought up on, he finds the chroming of American rappers, blues legends, rodeo cowboys, and frontiersmen can be highly entertaining. Richard wrote A Short History on American Bragging for issue 26 of Port Magazine, and he joins us now to explain.
Hi, Rick. Good to be here.
So this is so fascinating. You're an Englishman who knows quite intimately American culture because you live here now, and your British take on American, what is the word, braggadocio? What is that?
It was something that struck me hard coming from London, which, you know, is all about kind of understatement, self-deprecation, ironic, dry wit. Our humor is based on those things. But when I started traveling in America as a young man, there was a whole different sense of humor that was based on kind of overblowing stuff, exaggerating stuff, and bragging was a part of that.
So let's talk first about the British self-deprecation. It always strikes me every time I go to England, is English people apologizing. Sorry, you're on my foot.
Right.
Sorry, would you like red wine or white wine?
Sorry. Yeah. Would you mind? Sorry, I'm just. Excuse me a moment. Can I give you some more wine in your glass?
Sorry. Isn't that interesting? Because Americans are just the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, and from an English point of view, it must be just like, can you just calm down? Can you just chill? Don't be so full of yourselves. What does an Englishman think when he looks at some loud-mouthed American tourist showing insufficient modesty? I think you could say.
Well, I mean, let's see, I was probably at high school, I'm thinking back here, and yeah, absolute scorn and loathing is what we had for loud American tourists. But then around about that time, we started hearing the first hip-hop records, and we loved them, and that was all about boasting. So we decided, well, okay, so in this form, American boasting, when it's rhymed over a funky beat, can be like tremendous. So we had kind of two different takes on American bragging. We liked the hip-hop version, but the loudmouth tourist, not so much.
Well, if you think about, you know, blowing way out of proportion, that's kind of what comes out of hip-hop lyrics. It actually goes way back in our culture. I mean, all the way back to cowboy times, and Davy Crockett, you mentioned in your article, was king of the wild frontier. I mean, as a congressman, crowning himself king of the wild frontier, it's almost like something Muhammad Ali would say.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to give you a quote from Davy Crockett that he got up in front of the U.S. Congress and said, in one word, I'm a screamer and I've got the roughest racking horse, the prettiest sister, the surest rifle and the ugliest dog in the district. I can walk like an ox, run like a fox, swim like an eel, yell like an Indian, make love like a mad bull.
That was Davy Crockett?
That was Davy Crockett in the U.S. Congress.
Congressman Davy. It sounds kind of like Muhammad Ali in the ring.
Right, right.
Oh, my goodness.
So I started looking into the roots of hip-hop, too. And in African-American culture, you've got a kind of a tradition of bragging that borrows from that white frontier bragging and also has kind of its own style as well. But yeah, you can listen to Muhammad Ali and think about Davy Crockett, and there's obviously a connection. I'm so bad I make medicine sick.
Oh my goodness. And it does have this long trail in the United States culture. I mean, Mark Twain was just loved tall tales. Cowboys had all these exaggerations and competitive bragging. What are some of the things you learned from Mark Twain and cowboys?
Well, I always loved Mark Twain's memoir of being a steamboat cub pilot on the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. And there's one scene there where he has these two riverboatmen who were famous for their bragging, and they have a kind of a brag off in the book, and they threaten terrible violence on each other. One of them has, I can't remember the whole thing, but it's he's the copper-bellied corpse maker from the wilds of Arkansas. And he claims that, he says, I'm sired by a hurricane, damned by an earthquake, half brother to the cholera, nearly related to the smallpox on my mother's side. I take 19 alligators and a barrel of whiskey for breakfast when I'm in robust health, and a bushel of rattlesnakes and a dead body when I'm ailing. And then the other guy jumps up and he tries to like outbrag the first guy, and he says, when I'm playful, I use the meridians of longitude and parallels of latitude for a seine, and I drag the Atlantic Ocean for whales. I scratch my head with lightning and purr myself to sleep with thunder. The massacre of isolated communities is the pastime of my idle moments. The destruction of nationality is the serious business of my life. And they just keep bragging away at each other like this, but then the fight never happens. It's all bluster.
I love it. That is, it's sort of timeless. I mean, you can imagine it today, and it goes way back, and it's, I guess it's part of American culture, braggadocio. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Richard Grant. Richard Grant loves to travel and pick up fascinating insights from his travels. I mean, that's what really, really enriches your travel experience, is that ability to observe and learn. Richard's latest book is called The Deepest South of All, True Stories from Natchez, Mississippi, another example of Richard traveling and gaining great insights. Right now, we're talking about the short history of American bragging from the point of view of an Englishman. And Englishmen are all about sarcasm, all about self-deprecation, about how would you sort of remind us how an Englishman looks at this braggadocio that Mark Twain and Davy Crockett and Muhammad Ali just slam dunked?
I loved it. It was just, it seemed like just a kind of liberation of the language to me. It's such strong, fun language, and it's, you know, it's done for entertainment value. It's full of humor. It's funny. It's wild. That's the tradition of bragging that I admire, is the funny, entertaining, clever bragging. That to me is worthwhile. I mean, someone who brags without any humor or style or wit.
Well that's it. You got to have a twinkle in your eye.
You
know, but now conversely, me as an American going to England, rather than me saying, I'm going to kick your butt so hard it's going to go around the moon or whatever, you know, somebody might say, an Englishman might say, do you like hospital food?
Yeah, that's the classic London threat of violence.
Do you like
hospital food? It's not like, I'm going to kick your ass right out of your pants. It's like, do you like hospital food?
See, that's, to me, that is, I don't know, sometimes you can be louder by talking soft, but that's, of course, a whole different approach to this.
But the English person that tells you that is actually more likely to put you in hospital too, because the American guy is probably just doing it for fun.
Or he's just all bluster.
Yeah.
Richard, we've been talking a lot about braggarts, and they've all been men. What about women?
Well, I think in general, you know, it's more socially acceptable for men to brag. And I think all over the world, men brag more than women. In America, women do tend to lose social points by openly boasting about themselves. But on the other hand, women can brag with shoes and handbags. They can post photographs of themselves on Instagram. I think Instagram is probably the braggiest social media platform.
You know, that's interesting, because we've sort of morphed from Facebook into Instagram, and it really is about images, and it really is about people, you know, running up the flagpole, what's so great about their lives. And in a way, it is bragging, isn't it?
Well, there was one I noticed. It's a woman wearing a bikini. She's got this, like, really hot boyfriend, and they're in Bali, and he's holding her off the side of a high plunge pool in the jungle. I mean, that to me is some pretty hardcore bragging by the woman that posted that. And then you get the women who do the humble brag. If one more person tells me I look like Penelope Cruz, I'm going to scream. Or, I wish people would stop telling me I should model. It's like, I have a brain. So there's that humble bragging, which is actually
that's
really
almost
gets on people's nerves.
That could almost work in Britain, I think.
Yeah. No makeup on, hair's not done, not wearing any deodorant, still get hit on, sigh.
Those are great. Richard Grant's exploring the fun side of American exceptionalism right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Richard writes for Smithsonian Magazine and the New York Times. His books follow American nomads and take us into the lawless heart of Mexico's Sierra Madre and on a crazy river journey in East Africa. He wrote Dispatches from Pluto about his impulse buy of a farmhouse on the Mississippi Delta. And his latest is The Deepest South of All, True Stories from Natchez, Mississippi. Richard's website is richardgrant.us. Richard, you said it needs to be done with a twinkle. That's the fun stuff. When I listen to Davy Crockett, Mark Twain, or Muhammad Ali, you know, there's a little bit of humor there. Today, in our political culture, you know, we've spent years listening to President Trump. There's a lot of braggadocio there, but it seems to be a little different.
I made a little montage of some of Donald Trump's bragging, and what you'll see is that I'll read it out, but it's not funny, it's not clever, it's not entertaining. I know words, I have the best words. Nobody has better toys than I do. Nobody builds walls better than me. There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am. I'm the king of banking, oh do I know banking. I know more about the courts than any human on earth. Nobody knows more about the system than me, which is why I alone can fix it. So it's very boastful, but it's not fun to listen to, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to make you grin.
Well, there's kind of like the skilled braggart and the unskilled braggart. And an example of a more skilled braggart might even be Mike Tyson.
Yeah, Mike Tyson could really get going in his prime for bragging.
You just wrote a book about culture in the Deep South. You've connected with an amazing cultural sort of weave down there. What's the humor? What's some deep Southern take on this kind of self-deprecation or sarcasm or braggadocio?
I think Southerners like to blow things up out of proportion and get humor that way. I remember hearing something. It was a guy talking about a woman and his girlfriend being squirrely-eyed. And I said, "What do you mean squirrely-eyed?" And he said, "I mean, she can stand in the middle of Wednesday and look at both weekends."
Sounds pretty Southern.
Or she had buck teeth so bad she could eat corn on the cob through a chain link fence. So they'll blow it up. They'll make it absurd by exaggerating it. But also very, very funny, clever storytellers.
I bet. I bet you get people in a bar that just love to talk. It's sort of like the Irish gift of gab in the Deep South.
Yo, I got travel books. They tell you what's going down. Or you can take some tours. They're the talk of the town. Europe through the back door is pretty much the bomb. So you should hit me up at ricksteves.com.
Yeah, boy!
By the way, we like to brag that this edition of Travel with Rick Steves won the Lowell Thomas Silver Award for Audio from the Society of American Travel Writers in 2022. Robert McFarlane takes us into a deep time journey in England right after we stop off in Madrid on today's Travel with Rick Steves.